Right.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. We're back in session on a work session for proposed rules GS-14-761, AD-14-762, and GE-14-763. These are rules that Commissioner Crispin has been moving through the process. So unless, Brian, you have any additional comments you'd like to make first?
The only thing I would say is that I just want to make sure the ones on gas pipeline safety, I believe those are all good to go. It's just we're talking just this last set in this work session. Is that still the way everybody understands it?
Well, we probably should, I guess. So maybe I don't just kick it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So we'll start with the GS-14-761, the rules in that packet of gas pipeline safety.
We started a draft order. It's not really finalized, but it gives you a good feel. There's no testimony against the gas safety. There was only the staff testimony in favor. I assume they're going the way they're going. But I do need your confirmation in order to prepare it for meeting day.
I think these were all the rules that basically adopt amendments to regulations that PHMSA has requested and brings us in compliance with their rules. So I think that we didn't hear anything at the hearing. Nobody spoke. I'm fine with moving forward with those.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And then the second package is the procedural rules. And there were those are rules for a couple minor rules to hearing procedure and some changes to trade secret, more substantive areas changing the trade secret process, but not anything controversial. Again, we had one company comment and point out two typos. We've made those. They're shown in red. Mm-hmm. And we had staff find a slight error that we thought should be tweaked in order to better fit the statute. So that's all shown in red for the procedure. And again, with your approval, that's the package that will go on the order. And then the third part of the
goal is to have this order on Wednesday's agenda.
Yes. Okay. So that's why we're trying to get a draft ready. It's not totally done, but it's close. Then the grain licensing portion of the order will need to be written when the commission discusses and decides how it's addressing the comments that came in for grain and whether it's changing any of the rules.
Okay. So, Alana, can you, since this is the first time I've done these rule packages, can you kind of just walk through this format for our order of how this goes? There's a little discussion on each of the cases, and then...
Yeah, there's nothing sacred about this, but we've developed it just because when we go down to the Legislative Council, this serves as a good explanation of what happened, and we don't have to write another document explaining mm-hmm. things. So the first summary is pretty much out of the notice that just kind of repeats what we originally said about mm-hmm. when we originally proposed the rules.
I have a quick question on that. Just,
okay.
And this may be my own knowledge on official newspapers, but I know we have 53 counties. We only have 51 official newspapers?
I don't know. I have to ask John. I saw that too. I thought it was 52. That's a question, but we have to have it published in all the official county newspapers, and I have that on my radar screen too.
Okay.
Yeah. 53. I told you this wasn't totally...
All right.
Finished. We're trying to get something to go on at this meeting.
So the preliminary statement is from our notice.
Well, the preliminary statement is not all from the notice because the notice is before you publish or before right. the hearing. But it's very consistent with the things that happened in this case, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then the summary and then some discussion about the comments, because the commission does need to explain. It has to show the legislature and the attorney general that you considered the comments and what you think about them. If you're not going to, if you don't agree with them, why you don't, or if you're changing the rules based on comments, why that's a good idea or whatever. So that's the discussion. There was nothing on gas safety. There was the typos, kind of, and one small change on procedure. And then the grain is blank.
Okay. Whatever happened to the seven-month thing in the rate cases? Where did that end up at?
That's a law. That's
okay,
one of our proposed bills.
All right.
That's a proposed bill.
Got
yeah.
It.
or not proposed anymore. It's a real bill now.
Yeah. It's been a pre-filed bill.
Okay. So then what happens? This goes to the attorney. This is just an order submitting rules to Attorney General, but this is the order where you explain what you thought and what you did. Then it goes to the Attorney General for an opinion. When it comes back, it goes back on the agenda, but not with an order, unless they change something. We have to reconsider something, but let's pretend that doesn't happen. It goes on with a motion saying, we got this back. We're formally adopting these. Okay. Then it goes to the Legislative Council, gets scheduled for an Administrative Rules Committee hearing. And that's the thing that has the four deadlines a year, one of which is February 1st.
Does the public testify at those hearings as well?
Anybody
can go in.
Anybody could. In the past, we have had certain rules that had a lot of public members down there, lobbying and testifying.
Sure.
Sometimes just lobbying, and we lost our rules. Hmm. But, yes, it's a normal legislative type hearing.
It's usually not surprises. Usually we would have heard about it this time.
You
would have. We do something anyway, and we go back down there, they'll come back again.
Yeah. But it's a normal legislative proceeding.
And what about, what does the Attorney General, what is his review involve?
His review is to determine if the rules are legal. And it's all in the code book that Casey's got over there. But and then the Attorney General has a manual on site that you can read also. But basically, they're going to make sure that you have statutory authority to do what you're doing. Going to make sure that you followed all of the, you know, they're going to notice this 51 counties if we didn't publish in two of them for some reason. They are looking at how we did the regulatory analysis and the small entity analysis and all of that. Those sentences I took out of this order, I probably have to put them back in, but I couldn't figure out over the noon hour where. But we did do all of that, and we did it well, and I think it meets the statute, so don't worry about it. So whatever they have to look at, that's statutory requirement.
Okay. So we don't put in this discussion any of that analysis. That's like the economic impact and that sort of thing. We don't include that in this discussion.
We don't need to because we did it and it exists. Okay. You'll probably get into some of that in discussing comments on the grain rules just because some of that is what it's about.
Sure.
But you did do it, and so you have that in the record that for review. All of that goes to the AG's office. The order goes, but a whole bunch of other stuff goes too.
Okay. So we've gone through the gas and the...
And the procedural.
Procedural stuff.
So we'll clean up the order and put those on the way they're changed. They won't be read, but I will send one with red down to the AG's office to help them see what we did differently from what was proposed.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be a rules package attached to the order, and those will be the rules that you think you want to adopt.
Okay, so that brings us to the proposed
the grain
changes on the grain side.
And I think attached to this order, the grain rules would be your originally proposed rules. And then...
But
not necessarily what you end up
but
with.
I discussed with Sue only this morning a change to it. Did you hand one out to everybody or just mine here?
Yes.
Is this it? I did hand one out.
You open it to the second page. The bottom five lines are yellow.
Right. Everything that's yellow is coming out, and then the blue language will be what replaces it. But I did it like this so you can see and don't have to search to see the changes that were made.
Okay. And the gist of it is it continues to do basically what we were doing before. It increases the minimums from 1.5 million to 2. It increases the bond by 25% on grain dealers in their first 6 years of being licensed. And it has the increased bond if their volume exceeds 7 times their capacity. And it continues to have the incentive for doing a quicker conversion policy, as we had discussed before. The only change that happens here with this yellow and blue, although it looks like a lot, was, if you recall, the bonding has always been based on these bands of you know, it's so much if their capacity is 350,000 to 375,000 and then a little more at 375 to 400. And I had originally asked that we change that to be just a cents per bushel because I thought it sounded more meaningful to the producers. However, one thing that we did hear, I thought pretty clearly from the grain dealers that have that responded, was that was really problematic for them in technically having to mess around with changing their bond over, you know, a couple hundred bushels or something, a measurement changes one way or the other or something like that. And so this reverts it back to the old bands that gives them a little flexibility, but the essential changes are still here.
I'm glad you did that. That was, I thought they made a pretty strong case for having the bands, the capacity bands, during their comments to us. So I was going to ask for that to be returned. So
well, it sounds like if they operate in South Dakota, they pay by the bushel and have to change theirs every month.
Yeah, so true.
I think probably companies, fortunately.
Probably wasn't undoable, but it did certainly meet with resistance. And this still achieves the goal of probably four or five different goals in this package. So I think it's a much better solution.
And then, Alana, you can write that up right in the
explanation.
Yep.
I do have one thing that I wanted to bring up, and I wish that we had had a chance to visit on this, and we didn't. And that is the rules as they exist today clearly says that the minimum bond that a licensee can file is $50,000. And the way we are proposing to change it lists that $50,000 in that minimum line category. But once you're offering those options that can affect your bond, whether it's higher or lower, and you get into the reduction in bond because of the conversion, whether it be in that 10 days or 11 to 21 days, you get that 15 or that 30% reduction. Is it your intent that if we have a small licensee and they are going to create a conversion where they will pay within 10 days, is it your intent that they still have an option to reduce their bond by 30% and go below $50,000? Or will that only apply to the licensees that have larger bond amounts?
Never thought of that question.
My sense would not to go below the 50,000 minimum.
So a small entity wouldn't have that option to.
But is there
a question?
Yeah, I asked
Alana.
Yeah,
but I think there's something to be said for having a minimum bond level. I mean,
well, we just heard how valuable these commodities are. $50,000 seems reasonable. Okay. I mean, that's just my gut feeling.
I'm comfortable with leaving the $50,000 as the very bottom line. But do we need? How is this written legally right now? Do we need to point that?
We have to add
that?
Something. We have to add it. I'll have to wait till I can read
it's
it
a good catch.
From
where,
the beginning.
Where it has the minimums, it'll have to say, like, notwithstanding whatever.
It'll be like another letter there, yeah.
Or could you just, under C, a required bond may be reduced based on licensee's conversion policy, but not further than the minimum $50,000 or something to that effect, right within the C.
Well, we don't have a minimum in there now, but we will. I mean,
and you'd add that.
Yeah.
Add the minimum language
to
that.
We'll look at it.
Is that simple enough that we could still have it on Wednesday?
Yeah. We'll just we have to just explain it, I mean, in our order, but that's no more work than what we have to do anyway for the other changes.
Perfect. Good catch.
Thank you.
Good catch, though. Thank you.
Yeah, that's... Okay, I was just running through here really quickly to see if there was anything else. There was nothing else you wanted to talk through, Randy, on this?
No, I think everything else, other than just reverting back to that banding, should be as we discussed it before. And I think Dr. Wilson summed it up well. I really feel this way, too, that this is not something that's probably going to be the end of our work in this regard for the next 15 years. But I think it is a good first step, but I do think it's important that we move it along now so that it can hopefully be completely implemented this spring.
Mm-hmm. And so just in summarizing the key points, the bond would go up for those elevators in the first 7 years of business.
First 6 years.
1 to 7. First 6 years. On 7, it goes back down?
Yes.
Okay. So they would pay 25% more. Those who have been operating 7 or more, their bond levels don't change under these proposed rules.
Unless they have something else that changes.
Unless they have the higher volumes.
Right.
That triggers.
Or they could go down if they have a shorter conversion policy.
Yep.
There's something we might hear about again, though, is the company, existing company changes their names, that they're going to be classified as a new company again. So we might, that may come up again somewhere down the road, because we heard that in the first hearing. We never really addressed that, and I think just one of those things, just to track.
Say that once again, Brian.
Let's say you and Randy are in existing grain elevators, mm-hmm. and you decide to merge. That's a new company.
Oh, right. Then how would they be treated?
Yeah.
We've even had companies that were corporations and have changed, converted to a limited liability company. So that's what you're referring to.
Yep. I think it's worthwhile to keep it the way it is, because sometimes companies just change names for the, I don't know, for dubious reasons.
Do sometimes we have any authority, the way this is written, to make judgment calls for not requiring them to go
higher?
But could we?
I don't know. We don't. You can't waive rules unless you put in a provision to that effect. Mm-hmm. Something like a merger, you may be perfectly happy, because that could mean a lot of things. It could also mean it could mean you have a more risky business till you are established for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Something like maybe a company that's just converting the type of entity it is, you know, might be a different story. I mean, again, unless you want to put in some language that gives you the right to consider, I'd have to think about how you define it.
I'm not saying we have to do it now. I just think it's brought it out there for this discussion, because we didn't really make any changes. And that was a comment we heard that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a legitimate one, and it's one that we know we're going to face.
Well, I might be able to invent a sentence in half an hour or something.
Got a new law, new attorney here, Casey. She could.
Yeah, Casey, and I'll go brainstorm.
Just like we do for filing fees, we have a minimum, a number we assess, but if we don't think we'll need that, we can lower it. There must be some language that lets us do that. I wouldn't be against that, as long as we have the ultimate authority. But then it opens up Pandora's box.
It makes it pretty tough to draw the line, and we specifically don't want them to be just playing shell game with names either.
Yeah, or even entity conversions.
And I don't like the way it is. I just queued it up because we may hear that again.
Would be a tweak after we have some experience with it down the road. We can fix it accordingly based on what the experience is.
Yeah, you could tweak this rule fairly quickly after a licensing season or something.
Right.
I would think. I mean, I think that might be better than trying to write something really fast that's bad.
Well, and it's a small percent, so. I mean, usually it seems like when you have these mergers, not always, I mean, I can't say always in all cases, but generally we see it happening, I think, more so with some of our stronger companies. And so, I mean, if you're going from a $50,000 or $500,000 bond to a $650,000 bond, that may not make a huge difference, not a significant difference, not enough to be able to get a bond at that higher amount.
Presumably, most of them are, every time they do a merger, their bond should go down anyway because that's that much less of it that's at 50 cents a bushel.
Capacity. That's true.
So, you know, they're kind of starting out with a discount for doing it. And so any loss of an incentive or something like that, I don't see that's really going to be harmful. Well, it would just be that they'd fall in that first six-year category would be their loss. But
Mike and Tim, you guys have any thoughts on any of this?
He's going to say treat them differently. I can see it coming already.
Well, in the instance of a merger, if you didn't change the name, one company just assumed the other one, it wouldn't affect anything, would it?
It's just increased capacity.
Right.
And will actually lower the overall level of bonding that they have.
Mm-hmm. So then they wouldn't have a problem, would they? They have to have that wrestling match over who would give up their name.
That's a good point.
It seems like we've seen a number of conversions lately when they've been changes. They've been in a corporation and changed to an LLC. We just had one recently with HESCO and Viterra. They changed from Inks to LLCs by converting rather than creating a new entity. So in that case, when you have a conversion, it might be different than if you have a whole new entity that is starting from the very bottom to get a license.
Well, and do we need to make that clear, though, that a conversion is not considered, a name change is?
Do we need to get a license now, or do we just convert the file to the name?
If it's a conversion, if it's not a change of their corporate structure, is what we, if they create a new entity, they have to start over. But if they convert from something to another, we have never required them to start from the bottom to obtain a license. We just change the name on the license because they're just converting it.
So it's not a new license?
No. Correct.
The new license would be the trigger.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. I think we're fine.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on this rule or any other rules? All right. Then any other business?
Tom and Randy and Bart have some questions on the gas pipeline rule.
I think some real hard thought opinions you want to share. All right. Then we will close the work session on GS-14-761, AD-14-762, and GE-14-763. Thank you.